Carbon literacy is certified climate change learning that leads to positivity and action towards reducing carbon emissions. Essentially, carbon literacy training provides an awareness of the carbon costs and impacts of everyday activities and the ability and motivation to reduce emissions on an individual, community and organisational basis. The Argyll and Isles Coast and Countryside Trust Project Officer Jamie Joyce is an accredited carbon literacy trainer and has delivered climate change training to Argyll and Bute residents and organisations, and most recently to elected members and officers in the council. More than just a small personal change, carbon literacy highlights the need for substantial change and supports you as an individual to have a cascade effect on a much wider audience, whether it's in your workplace, community, school, university, place of worship or other setting. And here's Jamie to tell us more about that training.
Okay, so here I'm joined by Project Officer Jamie Joyce from ACT. So Jamie, I've been on your carbon literacy training, but before we talk about the training in a bit more depth, tell me how you got involved in that and what your role is at ACT. You probably should say to people if they don't know what ACT is, actually.
Yeah, I'll get to ACT in a moment. I'll cover my post first, Pippa. Good morning. I am, as you say, Project Officer for the ACT Now project. My role is to empower communities to deliver action on climate change. The post I'm in currently is funded by Smarter Choices, Smarter Places programme through the Local Authority Fund to encourage cycling and reduce car use. The central part of my role, though, which connects the various parts of that new project, is certified climate change education, known as carbon literacy. It made a lot of sense to begin offering carbon literacy training during our Scottish Government Climate Challenge funding 2 years ago, as we could offer this online at a time when so many were working from home due to travel restrictions. This has continued successfully over the past 2 years, with over 100 Argyll and Bute participants attending to date. This has included staff from community councils, Nature Scott, several local businesses, various trusts, local residents wanting to know more, many councillors, I should say, and of course yourself and some of your colleagues, Pippa. To move on to ACT, again, the tagline for ACT, which I know off by heart now, is our mission, which is to sustainably maintain, enhance and promote the coast and countryside of Argyll and Isles. Because primarily it's a spectacular part of the world that everyone should be able to enjoy. I'm going to speak a bit more about ACT now, just in terms of what we do. We partnership work to plan and deliver projects that make a difference to the residents and landscapes of Argyll and Bute. And this is in partnership with communities, with private organisations, with public agencies, with the third sector. We cover a wide, diverse, important range of topics, including conservation, climate change, which is with my ACT Now project, education and health and wellbeing. And all this, we really seek to achieve our vision of a coastal and countryside environment that is prized, valued and enjoyed by local residents and visitors alike.
So, yeah, I mean, as you said, I've been on your carbon literacy training. So if somebody's thinking about doing it, what's involved in carbon literacy training? Because I know even when I was starting off to do it, I say, oh God, this is going to be quite involved, quite in depth. But I mean, I've said to you before, it was some of the best training I've been on. I really enjoyed it. So if people are thinking about it, what can they expect?
Well, first of all, thanks for the positive feedback. Start with the Carbon Literacy Project. I mean, they're based in Manchester, but its model of training has been delivered globally. It's relevant climate change learning for everyone, delivered over 8 hours. The project has just passed the milestone of 50,000 certified learners. Along with that, it's got 145 organisations recognised as carbon literate and having a carbon literate workforce. I should say as well, the Carbon Literacy Project is recognised by the United Nations as a transformative action programme, one of 100 in the world. I think of importance as, and I believe that what is important is the unique way carbon literacy is delivered. The Carbon Literacy Project looked for individuals from the area that residents live and work, or from the sector or industry, to become trainers and deliver the course. And this is a really important part of the training because it keeps it relevant and valid, meaningful and impactful. In a nutshell, carbon literacy is, and I say this in inverted commas, and awareness of the carbon dioxide costs and impacts of everyday activities, and the ability and motivation to reduce emissions on an individual, community, and an organisational basis. So it's the knowledge and capacity required to create positive shift in how mankind lives, works, and behaves in response to climate change. So what can someone expect coming in the course? Well, irrespective of what carbon literacy training you do, it will have four key components. It will have a part on the science behind climate change, which will be absolutely up to date with the most recent IPCC reports informing that information. It will cover, secondly, social equity and climate change. It will, thirdly, look at what you can do to act on climate change within your role and your capacity. And four, strategies and skills for communicating action on climate change. The context of the training changes to suit the audience. The training you receive, Pippa, was designed for council managers and leaders, and you should hope they've found it highly relevant to your role. Likewise, the many councillors who have undergone training in Argyll and Bute have materials specifically aimed at their roles as decision makers and communicators. The community courses that we run here at ACT are about assisting individuals and communities to lower their climate impact, developing the knowledge at a local level to ensure Argyll and Bute residents have the full facts about climate change, how they will be impacted, what they can do on a personal and group level. Sectoral specific training this way ensures participants are tackling climate change according to their role in society, their level of agency. And I believe this is incredibly effective in driving change as it is empowering. Now, of importance is training at community level. There are economic incentives, there's national and local targets supported by detailed policy. There are many organisations working to a net zero outcome, but it all requires a committed level buy-in at the community level. We will not achieve our net zero ambitions, which are essential, without reaching collective agreement at every level of society. So the challenge of deep emission cuts required is too great without developing a sense of shared identity on the importance of climate change and all parts of society mobilising. Top-down approach is simply not enough. Now, we all have a part to play. Argyll and Bute Council has a role to play here through its levels of influence in the area, its role as a leader and a standard setter, the ability to showcase methods of best practice and its expertise within and working with within and across communities.
I think it's so important in terms of driving that behavioural change, and I think perhaps people that go on it will sometimes be surprised at the actions that will have the biggest impact on climate change. I think it's because there's sort of environmental considerations in their widest sense, like use of single-use plastics and things like that, and polluting the environment versus the climate impact and what will shift that change. And I think that's an interesting bit for people who might go on it to look at. And as you say, some of that shift won't come if we don't make some dramatic change in and sort of meaningful change in how we go about our everyday lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose it's relevant at this moment to mention the science, and it's not to downplay the importance of tackling plastic pollution and environmental degradation, but really the emphasis of the carbon literacy project is to lower the emissions, because the higher emissions and the trajectories we're on at the moment is going to lead to catastrophic climate change. That is coming about through release of emissions. That is a primary driver of climate change, release of CO2 into the atmosphere. You know, the latest Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report made clear the world's set to reach 1.5 degrees Celsius for the next two decades. So we need these really drastic cuts in carbon emissions now to avoid environmental catastrophe. Extreme weather, rising sea level, food and water scarcity, are becoming a reality. So climate change is not just an environmental emergency, it's a public health one too. It's going to impact our economy, our lifestyles, our culture, our welfare. So there's no part of our life that's not going to be impacted by climate change. So this is why I think education is so important. I should say as well, unchecked climate change, with thinking about a societal level, unchecked climate change will continue to see disparity grow in society. We already have people marginalised, throughout the world, and not just in Scotland, through poverty and ill health, the young and the old. They're the most susceptible to the impacts of a warming and wetter Scottish climate. So it's not a case of just tackling climate change, it's about tackling all these other issues at the same time. And I think that's what makes the training very relevant for councillors and decision makers to be informed with the latest information and to be aware of who's going to be most affected in society. I should say as well, you know, in Scotland, we need to do more. This was emphasised by a recent Climate Change Committee assessment of Scotland's progress in reaching a net zero 2045 target, but it's recognised there's not a valid and clear delivery plan. The ambition of the Scottish Government should be applauded, absolutely, but the reality for the vast majority of governments globally is they're not making these deep changes required to avoid the worst impacts of climate change. We cannot rely on governments to make the necessary changes. The change and actions required start with us, residents of Argyll and Bute, residents of Scotland, residents of the UK, to make the necessary changes. The local authority, both directly and indirectly, with its huge influence, local businesses, community groups, the third sector, we need to be the change makers. Again, this is highlighting the importance of this education.
Yeah, and people might not think they're seeing the impacts of climate change, but you know, particularly in a coastal area, we see coastal flooding. We've seen a road washed out on Bute recently. The rest and be thankful is probably our most high profile that arguably an impact of climate change.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the rest and be thankful always comes up in the training, irrespective of, you know, whatever sector of society we're working with. It's in Argyll and Bute, it's the key indicator of a changing climate. And we cover that quite a lot in the course. And I think that highlights as well the local relevance of the training. It's not being delivered on the central belt where a lot of the courses come from. It's designed to impact those who are impacted by these changes themselves, to know what future projections are saying is going to happen to our climate locally, and to make informed choices, to work with councillors, to work with the local authority, to work with businesses to make the necessary changes.
And you said earlier on it's an 8-hour programme, and that might seem quite intensive to people if they're thinking about it. But I know the one that I did with you was sort of 2 4-hour sessions, but it's very interactive. It's not being lectured for 8 hours straight,
that. Thanks for that. It's definitely not meant to be a lecture, and it's meant to empower people as much as possible. So really, from the course, you come away with ideas of what actions you can take yourself. You know, there's certainly parts of the course where we cover the science it tries not to be a lecture, but there's certainly some parts of the course that need to be directed that way. But within the group activities, we feel it's really important that people have the chance to come up with ideas, particularly in an organisation like Argyll and Bute, where it's a chance to speak beyond your department or sector. And find out what works for other people, share good practice, and be inventive, because you know that this idea that, what we've found is staff, board members who go through the training have a greater understanding of their capacity for action. The knowledge of climate change increases, and therefore staff are making better informed decisions and have become even more resource efficient. During the training and working on group activities, you know, the time and space it provides to generate ideas for collaboration between different projects and different areas of work is hugely valuable. So a great deal of the positive and creative work stems from the group pledge part of the training. The results generally with carbon literacy training are creative and inventive solutions, because the scale of the challenge and the importance of the challenge, you know, business as usual does not work anymore. We have to get creative. And the result of that is that as people become creative and feel more empowered in their workplace to take action, money is saved, resources are saved. People think more creatively about how they can make their sector or department more efficient. So it's money saving as well.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's been really timely for us, because although we've got our decarbonisation plan, we're now working with community planning partners, you know, other public sector partners, community, third sector, at how we can have a climate strategy that goes beyond the impacts that the council has, but we all have across the area. And that's, that's going to be quite a key piece of work for us. So making sure that people sort of have that scientific evidence underpinning and the thinking creatively about that, I think is really important, because although we've got, you know, we're rural and we've got lots of trees and we've got a lot going for us in a climate capacity, we've also got, there's still lots we can do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that we need to, as we covered in the course, you know, we looked at in the course for leaders and managers, the course you went through, looked at the carbon budget for Argyll and Bute. You know, we looked at the spheres of influence and the size of influence of Argyll and Bute Council. And we looked at the role of the local authority in the climate emergency. And I think it's incredibly topical at the moment. You know, I think it's easy to be lured in with the fact that, you know, we are a very green local authority. You know, we do really well looking at, you know, in terms of the scale of forestry we have, the woodland, we do really well. I think it's easy to be distracted by that and believe that we're okay. It's someone else's problem. It's down to the central belt. They're the big polluters. Irrespective of that, you know, the Climate Change Act 2019, or more specifically, the Climate Change Emissions Reduction Scotland Act in 2019, means that financial flows and investment at a national level in the private sector will be increasingly aimed at those local authorities and organisations and businesses who are developing a low carbon culture. So that should be a driver in itself. Carbon literate staff are more empowered to make necessary changes to restructure a workplace to become low carbon. It means the workforce is trained and ready to adapt to the changes that will come, both from climate change directly and the subsequent laws and policies, rather than it being forced upon them. You know, thinking about carbon literate organisation status, you know, and that's the way a lot of organisations are going now, including a lot of local authorities. Recruitment and retention of staff is aided by carbon literacy status. It demonstrates a positive commitment to the climate and strong environmental agenda. And again, carbon literacy status would fully support and enhance Argyll and Bute Council's decarbonisation plan there, as you mentioned, you know, which sets out the actions for Argyll and Bute Council, which, you know, working on to deliver for that climate-friendly Argyll and Bute. I should say as well that, you know, the reputation of a carbon literate organisation shows a commitment to placing sustainability at the forefront of your operation. It's becoming increasingly important. Potential partners, businesses and consumers are looking at carbon credentials more than ever, want to work with a staff team who are carbon literate, who have the know-how to work in a low carbon environment, are prepared for the change, have that adaptability, the resilience to overcome the climate challenges and make the most of opportunities, because opportunities do exist here. You know, these being, you know, renewable sources of energy, education, new communication platforms, sustainable travel, low carbon procurement.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, it is important. And I think there's, you know, it's, I'm really pleased to, as I said to you before we started recording, I got my certificate this week. So I was really pleased with that I'd sort of shown that I've you know, that I'd taken on board the training and I'm looking at those actions. But I think it's something that I'm really keen as an organisation we roll out that further training, because, you know, if we get that enough, we can, you know, beyond individuals getting the training, as an organisation, we need to get enough people and take on the principles to actually be able to claim that badge. And there's a sort of different levels, aren't there? You can be sort of bronze, silver, gold levels of carbon literacy as an organisation. So maybe just say a little bit about what that means. You know, I don't expect you to kind of roll people through all the criteria, but broadly you can do that in terms of how to give an indication of what the whole organisation is taking on board with that.
Yeah, of course. So carbon literate organisation accreditation is a sort of visible badge that showcases your organisation is committed to carbon literacy. It means having a relevant number of people who are certified as carbon literate, and that number of people depends on whether you're going for bronze, silver or gold or platinum. I think at platinum level you're looking for a whole staff team to be carbon literate. And finally, it's about showing a commitment to support carbon literate people and maintain a low carbon culture. It really sort of, carbon literate organisation status or accreditation demonstrates an organisation's corporate social responsibility in the clearest way possible. Act, and we work to become a carbon literate organisation really as a means to an end. We want to support other local organisations become carbon literate. And in order to do this, we wanted to be aware of the steps required and have gone through the process ourselves. And we should say we found the staff, board members who go through the training have a greater understanding of their capacity for action. Knowledge of climate change increases and therefore staff are making better informed decisions, have become even more resource efficient. During the training, I'm going to start again, Pippa, because I've got loads of emails coming in just now, and you're probably picking up the sound in the background. It's a bit off-putting. Sorry, bear with me a second, and I'll. You can always That's cut this bit out, sure. Okay, so I was talking about carbon organisation status. Yeah, so if I go back to the impact we felt at ACT, group activities provided, really good space to generate ideas for collaboration between different projects. It was hugely valuable. And a great deal of the positive and creative work comes from the group pledge part of the training. It's about creating these inventive solutions, overcoming this climate challenge, working multidisciplinary, thinking way outside your sphere of influence. My internet just dropped there, I think.
It did. You're fine.
Yeah. I want to go back and sort of, you mentioned about the sort of benefits of Argyll and Bute and the coast and climate we live in and the carbon sequestration benefits of living here, and being a low carbon, local authority. I just want to speak about that for a moment as well, if that's okay.
Yeah,
you know, he's going to edit it. And it's really to say, we live in this amazing place, and we work in this amazing place. We've got spectacularly rich, varied coast and countryside, an amazing marine environment, complex ecosystems, unique peatland and woodlands, natural rainforest habitat. All these being critical for CO2 sequestration, that being the capture, removal and storage of carbon dioxide from the Earth's atmosphere. Within Argyll and Bute, we've got these natural resources which, when well looked after, well managed, well preserved, is incredibly valuable natural capital. These key features mentioned play a critical role for the economy for Argyll and Bute, a key asset in the green recovery. But I should say as well, this natural capital is under threat from climate change. Unchecked climate change, the fabric of our unique Argyll and Bute, the soils, the biodiversity, indeed our very landscapes will begin to fray. Now at ACT, along with key partners, we are involved in the preservation and care of several key aspects of Argyll and Bute's natural environment. And I would recommend you take a look at our website and social media to find out more about this. Now I've mentioned the natural features of Argyll and Bute link in with some of the training that's delivered. Something we discuss is how best to communicate the climate emergency across the political and social spectrum. And one of the most effective ways to do this is to highlight the plight of nature. It doesn't polarise, it doesn't alienate. Highlighting the effects of climate change on our coast, on our woodlands, on all these precious habitats is one of the best way to galvanise a positive response on the climate message.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, because we have such a sort of unique and special nature and environment in Argyll and Bute. I think that's what attracts a lot of us to come and live and work in the area, and protecting that is so important. I know I live in an area where we've got what is effectively secondary rainforest, that when I first came to Argyll and kind of appreciated that, it kind of blew my mind. I didn't know that existed in Scotland in the way that it does in Argyll and Bute, and those sort of things are what make it very special and important to protect.
Yes, absolutely. I can't really emphasize that point enough, that it's climate change is a threat to these things, these things that really establish who we are as residents of Argyll and Bute, and hopefully the carbon literacy training will go some way to enabling and empowering local residents to take action. Whether that's through campaigning, whether it's through direct action through their pledges, and or whether it's responding to policies at work and implementing and embedding good practice in the workplace, all these things are important to make sure that where we live and where we work maintains this real benefit of having this natural capital, this beautiful place that we live.
Absolutely. And I mean, I know for me, I'm sad. I eat a lot less meat now. For example, I'm looking at my next vehicle being an electric vehicle. But, you know, from probably more importantly, from an organisational point of view, you know, we're just on the start of the journey of carbon literacy training, and certainly want to have many more people within our organisation trained in that, so that we've got, you know, we can multiply that action up both from individuals and from, you know, the decisions the organisation takes. So it's just the start of that for us. If somebody's interested in getting carbon literacy training, what do they do to sort of inquire about that and look at getting that organised for their community or their group or whatever?
Certainly they can contact me directly at my email, which is jamie@act-now.org.uk. At the moment, I've got one more course running, which is oversubscribed in February. If I feel there's enough response, I'll certainly run the course again for residents of Galibute. And again, I'm funded by Smarter Choices, Smarter Places, to run this really as a way of encouraging fewer car journeys. So if people get in touch with me directly, I'll certainly respond to that and hopefully run the course again.
No, that's great. And if people are sort of on the fence, I can't recommend it enough, because I know, I've got a pretty busy diary, and I looked and I had two off days in my diary of training, and I was thinking, oh gosh, this is a lot of time. But I can't recommend it enough, and everybody else I know in the organisation that went on it absolutely loved it. It was really informative, really interesting, and it went by in a flash. It was great fun to do. So if people are thinking about it, definitely get in touch with Jamie, because it really is a really great training course. So we'll put some information at the end of the recording and on a website, Jamie. So if people are interested, hopefully they'll get in touch and or look at the website and see the other great work that ACT's doing for looking after the amazing place that is Argyllan Butte. So thank you.
Thank you.
We wrapped up our conversation, but Jamie wanted to add these further comments. So here is a little bit more from Jamie.
I suppose, first of all, recognition must go to Ross McLaughlin, Head of Commercial Services, for development of the training for council staff and councillors. He very early identified the training as something beneficial. And of course, we here at ACT were very keen to deliver this accredited training with the benefit of being a local organisation. I should say as well, there's a large number of councillors in Argyllan Butte undergone training. To the credit of all involved, the number of councillors who have undergone carbon literacy in Argyllan Butte is far, far higher than the Scottish average. And I think that you know, a lot of thanks has to go to themselves for giving up the time to attend the training, but also I realise they've had pressure groups and various others encourage them to come along. So thanks to them. And I want to finish on another positive. You know, we've got an increasing amount of residents who are carbon literate in Argyllan Butte. We've got a high proportion of councillors and decision maker carbon literate. We have many community groups and those in the third sector actively working to create and campaign for a greener Argyllan Butte and indeed a greener Scotland. And we have a council committed to net zero 2045. I have colleagues at ACT who work incredibly hard to ensure that we promote and preserve this most precious natural environment.
No, really important points. Thank you for that, Jamie. And thank you for doing the training for us.
Not at all. A pleasure, and hopefully can deliver more. That's grand. And again, thank you very much, Pippa, for inviting me along today. I much appreciate the chance to promote what we do. And I again, really, really keen to support the council and keep developing the training to make it more relevant.
So a big thank you to Jamie for joining us to say a little bit more about carbon literacy training, but also for the fantastic training he's given our organisation. I can't speak highly enough about how engaging it is, and so is everybody else I've spoken to who's taken part on it. So if you're thinking about getting involved, get in touch with Argyll and the Isles Coast and Countryside Trust and find out more about getting carbon literacy training for your community or your organisation.
Pippa's Podcast.